A snarl in the woods. Ancient forest spirits nip at his heels. He can outrun a force of nature on foot. He needs an instant power machine built for the wild. The only escape is in the Toyota BZ Woodland. Off-road handling, all electric power. Leave evil in the dust. John Cho stars in Camping. Face the wild. Test drive Toyota's new all-electric family at your local dealer. Toyota, let's go places.
Houston, standing by. Over.
Jeremy and Joe continues now
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
We'll see what happens over the next 58 minutes. 713-780-ESPN. 58 more minutes ahead of the deadline. We got some callers on the line. We get up to the callers. 713-780-3776. Pete, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. Brian sitting in for Joe. What's going on, Pete? Peter? You there, Peter?
All right. This Astros stuff. Hey, real quickly, to the Astros, great job going 11 out of 12 in the win column here the last 2 weeks. 2 weeks ago, I thought they ought to be selling, but boy, have things changed. But hopefully they can keep it going. But on this trade stuff, adding Varsho, I kind of have to question it too. I understand they needed outfield help, but, you know, they could have made that trade last year for Dylan Cease. Would have made a little bit more sense. But, you know, this team currently constructed, I don't know. I don't know if this team can go all the way, even making another move. You know, anything can happen in baseball. It's unpredictable. Yep. But I do know this, that war room conversation thing. Bagwell and Crane are reminding me of Jerry and Stephen Jones. Quite simply, it's a mirror image. And Dana, he's a pretty good Wade Phillips / Jason Garrett type. I could see them bringing him back next year because he's a good yes sir man. But anyway, got 50-something more minutes to go. Who knows? Maybe they'll surprise us. Anyway, guys, hope you have a good Monday.
Thank you for the call, Pete. Like, I know we're both kind of struggling with this one, Jeremy, but I do like it from the 2026, you know, put on the blinders aspect of, at times this lineup was 3-4 guys deep, and it got to a part where it was a bunch of batters I didn't trust. Now, obviously, Christian Walker in April was really good. He's been terrible ever since, and Altuve is very up and down. But this does add another bat to their lineup where I do feel like is better than what they've run out there. I think it makes it a little bit longer, but it's just, if you have any belief in Arrigetti, if he can even be 80 cents on the dollar as to what he was in May, hell, even maybe 70 cents on the dollar as to what he was in May, and throwing the fact that he's got 3 years of team control, and you could have traded him for Dylan Cease last year. It's just the value and the long-term hit, I think outweighs the short-term gain.
That's kind of where I land too. Hope to be proven wrong, but that's about where I land. Now, I did find something promising looking into Varsho a little bit more. Like, I was looking at his splits and stuff. He is pretty split neutral, which is good because you don't have to, like, you know, he can just play center field every day, right? Which I think was kind of critical at the deadline. Like, they needed a guy who could be in the lineup every single day.
Right.
The whole it's fine to have platoons, but you can't have platoons at every single position. And in center field, you want a guy who can defend, right? Like, you want an above-average center fielder. So with Varsho, you get a good glove in center, and he does have neutral splits. His OPS this year against righties is .683, against lefties it's .681. Okay, he's split neutral. And then it's still not like a good number, but it's split neutral. 89 OPS against OPS plus against righties, 92 OPS plus against lefties. But here's the if you're looking for a glimmer of hope, if you're looking for, like, okay, this is something that I can hang my, you know, sink my teeth into. This is something that can excite me. This is something that, okay, it gives me hope for the rest of the season. Away, Dalton Varsho has an OPS plus of 103. You know, it's average-ish, but it's slightly above average. At home, it's 77. So, like, maybe he was struggling hitting at home this year. And if you go look at some of the Toronto players' numbers at home this year, they've been pretty bad for whatever reason. I think they were cheating last year. Like, Vladimir Guerrero, I don't know if you know this, Brian, and I didn't know this until over the weekend. My buddy Guy told me. Did you know that Vladimir Guerrero Jr. has hit zero home runs at home this year?
I remember he started, like, really slow, like Fernando Tatis, but I didn't know the home-specific part of that.
So, like, hey, if Dalton Farcio gives me good defensive center field, and he gives me those road numbers, a 103 OPS plus, I'm going to be happy with Varsho. There's the sidebar conversation of what Arrighetti is going to be, and you don't love giving up the years of club control. But if Dalton Varsho gives us the defense that he plays and he has a 103 OPS plus the rest of the year, I will be satisfied with Varsho's performance.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'll put it that way.
That's fair. And I was also digging into the splits. I was curious to see if there was any sort of information I could glean from the month by month like numbers, and looking at Varsho, if you exclude basically his current form of play, like July through now, it's actually not that bad. So his OPS in April and March was 720, in May 775, in June 786. Then it drops down to a horrible 482 in July and sub 500 again in the few days they've played in August. So like. I could talk myself into, oh, well, he's just slumping right now. And he's an overall a pretty good player who was great last year, and he'll round back into some form of what we saw last season this year and be a big addition to this Astros lineup. But you also have to worry about a guy that's 30, like that he could just be a little worn down. Maybe he's possibly injured. Hopefully the medicals catch anything there. But I don't know. Like, why is he... Why was he hitting pretty well up until the start of July and just been a complete disaster since the start of July?
Looks like his bat speed has gone down since last year.
Well, and again, he's 30 now, so that's not encouraging.
What is it? What's bat speed measured by? Is it just is it miles per hour?
I would assume so, but I don't know.
So this year he's at 72.9, which is in the 59th percentile. Last year, it was at 75.6, which he didn't have enough games to qualify, but it was like probably in the 80th percentile. So it's dipped quite a bit. That's almost 3 miles per hour.
Does that give you Jose Abreu vibes?
Yeah, a little bit.
Now, obviously, I mean, 30 isn't what Abreu was, who I think was 34-ish.
Yeah, I mean, he's only 30. Yeah, but still, no, I mean, bat speed going down is not great.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, athletic prime obviously is different for every player.
His range has gone down too. In 24, it was in the 99th percentile. Last year, it was in the 95th percentile. This year, it's still good, but it's in the 87th percentile.
That seems like a guy declining like physically.
Two years ago in 2024, his speed was in the 80th percentile. Last year, it was in the 77th percentile. This year, it's in the 49th percentile. Yeah, he's
declining.
He's declining as a player.
Now, I mean, obviously, you need 2 months from him. So, I mean, that is a part of this. But, man, if you're getting a player in decline for a guy that was under control for 3 more years, he better well deliver in those 2 months.
It's also probably not a guy you want to extend.
No. I saw that note out there right away as soon as this news broke. Like, I hope they extend him. Like, man, he's a dude in his 30s. I would pass on that, especially now seeing the numbers like you talked about with the Savant numbers of bat speed and range declining.
Not great. But hopefully, like you said, though, hopefully you just get 2 months of him, right? It's the Toby Keith song. I'm not as good as I once was, but I'm as good for 2 months as I'll ever be.
Yeah,
or whatever.
That's exactly word for word.
Dalton Varsho, 713-780-ESPN. So there was the report, was it yesterday, 2 days ago, whatever it was?
Saturday. Came out Saturday morning.
Astros traded for Trevor Larnach, who I actually like. He's on my wish list. I like Larnach. I don't know how to say his name, but I know that he can
hit
righties.
That's how I was pronouncing it.
So there was a report from a no-namer that the Astros traded Brian Abreu for him, but Jim Crane nixed the deal. Some national guys and some Twin beat writers, they were like, yeah, there were talks there, but they were kind of vague on like the exact details. Passan today kind of cited it, but maybe he was duped. Who knows? McTaggart said it was not true at all. Where do you land on it? Do you think the Abreu for Larnach report was true or not?
I initially completely dismissed it because of the no-name nature of the reporter you mentioned. Like, this broke Saturday during my show. And I can't remember if it was Sean or Cam who showed it to me. I hadn't seen it yet across my timeline, but I took a look at the reporter who's Michael Marino. I had never heard of him. His follower count's pretty low. He wasn't affiliated with any like major publication. Like, and so I just completely dismissed it at the time. I hadn't seen Rome pick it up. I hadn't seen McTaggart, Passan, Nightingale, anybody pick it up that was, at least semi-credible. So I completely dismissed it. But as the days have gone by and we've seen the reaction of Larnach and the comments by their manager, Shelton, like it seems like I seem to think now that it is true. I mean, the way Shelton talked about it, the way Larnach has talked about it in clips with the media here over the weekend, and then some of the other guys picking it up, like I saw, I guess it's the son of Bob Nightingale, but Bobby Nightingale, the Star Tribune, picked it up. Dan Hayes, the Twins beat reporter for The Athletic, picked it up. You mentioned Passan kind of cited it. With those guys picking it up and the Twins openly kind of talking about it, I tend to lean now that this is true.
So I think it's – I don't think we're getting all the details.
Probably not, no.
I think we're getting like the half the story, and I think that's probably why Mike McTaggart said it's not true or it's false or whatever. I don't – there's no way it was a straight-up Abreu for Larnach, I don't think. There's no way. Larnach's value is way too good compared to Abreu. Abreu is the rental. He's a reliever. Larnach's a leadoff man for the Twins, who are very much in playoff contention, who still has a year of club control. So my guess on this – now, we have seen reports that Click doesn't want Dana Brown to trade from the big league roster, which Arrighetti technically wasn't because he was on the injured list. I think that the Twins were wanting prospects, too. I think they wanted, I don't know the prospect, but I'm going to say it was Abreu, one of the Astros' top prospects for Larnach, and I think that's why it didn't go through. That's my guess.
See, I can see that, but Jim Crane doesn't strike me as a prospect hugger.
Well, like, it might have been both. It might have been the Abreu aspect of it, plus the prospect got uncomfortable.
Like, knowing what we heard, because I think it was just a day or two before that, the news came out that Crane had told them don't trade from the minor or for the major league roster. So I totally thought that made sense from Crane vetoing it from that aspect. But you're probably right. There had to be some prospects involved as well. So I why Crane would have vetoed it, I would guess it was more towards the Brian Abreu side of it. But I don't know. Like, I tend to believe this is true. I wish we just had more details as to what was involved, because then it'd be easier to piece together why they would have and who would have been the person, like, putting the kibosh on it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. I just can't believe that they would say no to Abreu for Larnach.
Yeah, there had to be more to it, but I don't know. Like, I maybe Jim Crane is just holding on to a different version of what Brian Abreu was, because obviously
he's been better.
He has been better. Like, since I can't remember what day it was in May, he's certainly been a lot better. Although he was shaky yesterday, but I don't take Jim Crane as a prospect hugger. So if they did, if he did in fact, you know, kill this deal when it was presented to him, I do think it was because of Brian Abreu. Which, man, I would not want a deal for Trevor Larnach killed for Brian Abreu. Now, if it was also for Kevin Alvarez or Xavier Nayans, yeah, then I start to get why that would have that move. But I don't take Jim Crane as a guy that would have killed it for that reason. Maybe I'm wrong.
I got you. Like, there's no way of knowing, right?
No,
like,
it's all guess.
It comes out later, and even then, who knows if it's 100% true. It'd be great to be like a fly on the wall. I wish they would televise this stuff. It would be must-watch TV.
Oh, that'd be fascinating.
I will say this. If Jim Crane nixed a Brian Abreu for Trevor Larnach trade, that is dangerous. That is bad.
If it was straight up?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Would you have made that trade straight up?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Like, no-brainer straight up?
Yeah. Like, I know they need a right-handed leverage relief pitcher, so they would have had to follow that up with another move behind it. But, yeah, I would have gone out and got Larnach and worried about the
– could have traded Arrighetti for that.
Yeah, the course – yeah, exactly. You can go out and find another right-handed relief pitcher.
I would have 100%, 10 times out of 10, done this. It's funny to me, actually, like how many Astro fans are like, "That I'm glad that he nixed it. That was a great nix." What? What do you mean that's a great nix? The same people that are saying that are the people who were crying for Abreu to be DFA'd 2 months ago. Like, it's the value of an eighth-inning reliever, and he's not always the eighth-inning reliever. It depends on who's coming up. It depends on the pocket they're facing. For a controllable – like, he would instantly be your third best player. Now, he is a platoon guy. He doesn't He doesn't hit lefties well, so like that would be a bit of a struggle. He's not a great defender, so he'd be a left field only guy. But you could have reinvented your outfield altogether, like if you did both of those trades. If you traded Abreu for Larnach, well, now you got your left fielder, and then you trade, you know, Arrighetti for Varsho, you got your center fielder, and then you can do whatever you want in right field. You do Trammell, you got Smith out there, you got Wade out there. So I will say this. I don't know what is true. My hunch is that there was something more to this trade. I think it was probably Abreu and a prospect that they really liked. I don't even know if it was Crane that nixed it. Maybe Danner Brown was like, yeah, it's a little bit too much. But all I will say is if Jim Crane nixed Brian Abreu for Trevor Larnach, then the Astros front office is a clown show.
Yeah, no.
I don't know if that's the case, but if it is the case, they're 100% a clown show.
Yeah, 100% co-sign. And for what it's worth, Dalton Varsho official, according to Brian McTaggart.
Straight up?
Well, kind of. It's Astros get Varsho in cash. For Arrighetti. Varsho will be in the lineup, according to McTaggart, tonight and wear 18.
Yeah, the Astros just tweeted it. Yep. We have acquired Varsho from the Blue Jays in exchange for Spencer Arrighetti.
Officially official.
I did see Chandler Rome report that the Blue Jays are going to eat part of his, like a good chunk of his contract.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully that's an indicator that the Astros are still going to get something done for somebody else.
Yeah, but I mean, like you said, we talked about he's a rental who wasn't making a ton of money. I mean, I'm sure it saves them some, but how much and is it a significant amount that would lead to another move? I kind of skeptical of that.
Yeah.
Especially how the Astros treated saving money with Jesus Sanchez and Mauricio Dubon from, you know, Dubon from earlier in the year. Like, they took that savings and did what with it. So, I don't know. We'll see. But it seems like even if the Blue Jays pay half of it, like, that's how much? I mean, it's a guy on arbitration in his last year.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN. HRMP listener line. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, we're going to go out to the HRP listener line. 713-780-ESPN. Carson, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. Brian in for Joe. What's going on, Carson?
Hey, how's it going, guys? So I guess first off, I like Dalton Varsho's upside. I really think that the entire Blue Jays team was regressing this year. I think the morale is down. Brutal World Series loss. So I think maybe some fresh scenery could help there. Jeremy, I saw on one of your lists on Twitter you had Taylor Ward as one of your favorites, and obviously he's with the Mariners now. But I still think that looking at the Astros lineup, and you even look at some of their platoon options with like Lamont Wade and Taylor Trammell, these guys have really good splits against right-handers. I still think there's a need for hitting against left-handed pitching. Even if you look at some of the spots in the infield, I know Paredes kind of favors right-handed pitching. I think Christian Walker maybe, or maybe somebody else. I still think that they could maybe improve their hitting against left-handed pitching. So I kind of wanted to see what y'all thought, if there may be other targets to look at. And then kind of my last question, was Bryce Mayer, I think is his name. Kind of seen some reports about him. Do you think he maybe makes the jump to the big leagues this year, or what's the deal there? Anyways, take care. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Carson. Yeah, on that last one, I definitely think he could. I mean, I don't think anyone in that back, at least two spots of the Astros rotation, has a death grip on their spot. I mean, Christian Javier, Ronel Blanco have obviously not been in great form. Obviously, Blanco's only had a few starts. Javier, well, same because he got hurt back in April and missed a chunk of time. But, yeah, I definitely think Mayer could see some time this season. We saw how quickly Jake Bloss made his way to the major league roster after getting, I think it was just one start in AAA, Jeremy, correct me if I'm wrong, but
that's right.
I think Mayer could definitely make a stop, not only because Danner Brown has been willing to be aggressive with guys like that, but also because nobody in that 3-4-5, or at least with the 4-5, in the Astros starting rotation has a strong grip on their spot.
Yeah, I can't remember who had it, but Bryce Mayer got promoted to AAA today. Which you brought up the Bloss, made one start in AAA, got called up. Danner Brown's not bashful in bringing guys up, especially that are performing well. He likes to do that, you know, lightning in a bottle thing, see if he can find that. He did that last year with Zach Cole. You know, Zach Cole was crushing AAA. He called up Zach Cole, and I got fooled. I thought Zach Cole was like a legitimate – I thought Zach Cole was going to grab the center field job and run with it. I couldn't have been more wrong on that.
Right.
That was a terrible take. He's been terrible this year. He's been hurt, too. I don't think he's played like in a month. But, yeah, I think Mayer has a chance to pitch this year. It's going to depend on his form in AAA, and it's going to depend on the form, like Brian mentioned, at the bottom of the rotation, guys. But it wouldn't shock me if we saw Mayer at some point this season. You know, Petco might be a guy, too. I haven't seen these guys pitch, but based on what I read, their arsenal, their stats, I think I like Mayer more than Petco, but I haven't even seen them pitch in a game. It's more just off the numbers and reading their arsenal. We are going to have Astros Future on tomorrow. We can ask Astros Future about that because he's laid eyes on them and he knows a lot about that stuff. I'm glad you brought up those guys because I wonder, too, if maybe Danner Brown's viewing Mayer and Petco as having more upside than Spencer Arrighetti. And he felt that, hey, these two guys are at least comparable, right? Like, if he thinks Petco and Mayer are comparable to what Arrighetti is, and he actually, those guys are under club control for 6 years as opposed to 3 years, maybe that's another reason why he felt like he could trade Arrighetti. Where it's like, well, Arrighetti at best is a bottom of the rotation starter. Yes, he's got 3 years of club control, but next year starts arbitration, so he's going to take a bit of a pay raise. He's going to take a bit of a spike in his salary. And we have Petco and Mayer, who we like equally as much as Arrighetti, if not more. So that could be a reason why Dana thought Arrighetti was more, you know, tradable this year than he was last year. So good point bringing them up. As far as the right-handed bat, I've been on this crusade for months. Whenever I look at a roster, A lot of people look at your roster and they're like, well, here's our lineup. That's not 2026. Like, baseball in 2026, you see so many platoon guys. So you have a left-handed lineup and you have a right-handed lineup. Whenever you look at this team against left-handed pitching, I think they have a glaring need in the outfield of a right-handed bat. Trammell can hold his own against righties. Lamont Wade can hold his own against righties. The Astros don't have anybody in the outfield who can hold their own against lefties. Maybe Cam Smith? Not really. You hope he could do it? Not really. He has looked better lately. They were hoping that Bryce Matthews could be that guy. Bryce Matthews has not been that guy, and he's hurt, and he's a few weeks away. I think they thought that Jake Myers could be a center field platoon against left-handed pitching. He's been a train wreck this year. I think the Astros desperately need a right-handed bat against left-handed pitching that can play left field, and that's why I had interest in Taylor Ward. Maybe they'll do that in the next 37 minutes. I was hopeful because Danner Brown was saying, look, we're not going to limit ourselves to left-handed bat, but every time I would read, oh, the Astros need left-handed bat, the Astros need left-handed bat, I'm like, what are you looking at here? Look at this outfield depth. They can't hit righty. So I completely agree, Carson.
Yeah, and they just need the guys that can hit for sure, but definitely a deficit there as far as guys that can hit right-handed pitching. Like, there is a, I think, a world where, now obviously Jordan's not going to play in left field a lot, but if Jordan's in left and you're now adding Dalton Varsho to play center field and Taylor Trammell against righties, can, like you said, can hold his own if he's playing right, like, okay, that's you know.
Who's your DH? Like, because I had somebody ask me that on Twitter. Like, well,
Altuve or Yainer?
But you're not adding a bat to the lineup, though. Like, that's the thing. Like, yeah. The whole point of playing Jordan in left field is so you can add a bat to the lineup. Like, you don't want Jordan to play left field, right? Like, we all agree that we don't want Jordan in left field because Jordan's bat is too important and he's too valuable. You don't want to risk him getting hurt. But it's passable if you can put a bat in the lineup, right? Like, hey, you're going to play left field two of the three games at the Dyke. Okay, but you're doing that because you want to get an extra bat into the lineup. Who is that bat?
Yeah, no, that's fair. Like,
unless it's Yiner and you want Vasquez to catch because you like his receiving better.
That would be the move
I
would
do,
yeah.
Is that worth placing Jordan in left field because you're trying to get Yiner's bat into the lineup?
No.
No.
No. No. I was trying to talk myself into it.
Maybe on occasion, but not consistently.
Yeah, they're in a spot right now, though, still, where I do like their two-thirds of their outfield against right-handed.
What about lefties?
Yeah, exactly. Like, Taylor Trammell can hit.
Is.
Yeah, they can't be done. Like, in the news that we've seen is that the Astros are now looking at starting pitching. Metagard's reported that. Rome has been on they're talking about Foster Griffin with the Nationals. So it seems like the Astros have, I don't know if they believe they just solved their outfield, but it seems like they're turning their assets and their attention to pitching and not another outfield bat. Yeah. And you, Joe, and I have talked about for weeks, like, this is not a one outfielder fix for this outfield. This outfield was Cam Smith, who has the sixth lowest batting average of all qualified hitters, Zach DiCenzo, Lucas Spence at times, Taylor Trammell, who can't hit lefties. It was arguably the worst outfield in the league. And so Dalton Varsho is an improvement, but they needed another bat. And they still have, what, 34 minutes to get that done? But it seems like all their attention is now going to starting pitching.
Yeah,
so if I had to guess, this is the outfield they're going to go forward with.
Yeah, I think they could really use the right-handed bat.
They could.
Somebody,
Taylor Ward was the guy I liked, but that's off the table.
Someone asked me, like, what would you be happy with at the deadline? And I said a center fielder, because I don't think that they have a capable center fielder on this team that can play every day. Taylor Trammell can hold his own out there for a bit. He's not an everyday center fielder, and he's not a center fielder against left-handed pitching. Like, I want a center fielder who I can stick out in center field every single day. And, like, I think that they think they got that with Varsho. And, like, okay, like, whatever. I'll concede that.
There's a world where
that's
true.
I'll concede that. Yeah, I'll concede that for the moment. And that guy's taking the job of Lucas Spence. Okay, done. I want a platoon bat against left-handed pitching, and that would take the roster spot of Zach DiZinzo. Maybe they think DiZinzo is good enough to be that guy.
Ugh.
I personally don't. Maybe they do. So that's what I would have done. I would have traded for a center fielder that's taking Lucas Spence's job in center field, and then I'm acquiring a right-handed bat that's taking DiZinzo's spot, and then I got a left-field platoon with Trammell and DiZinzo, and the guy that I traded for, right-handed bat I traded for, not DiZinzo, the guy taking DiZinzo's spot. And then I want Cam Smith in right field most days, but you also have a backup plan in case he struggles with Lamont Wade. And then you have a pinch hitter off the bench. Like, it's just a good bench. It's good feng shui. I think it's way more important. And it sounded like Carson thought it was way more important than what Dana Brown feels. But
yeah, so if they only acquire one more piece before the deadline is up in 33 minutes, I think we're both in agreement. We'd rather be a right-handed bat than a starting pitcher.
I wouldn't go that far.
You wouldn't go that far? I guess it would depend on the names, but
like, would you rather have Foster Griffin or Dane Myers?
Foster Griffin.
Yeah. But Dane Myers, I'd be fine with.
Yeah. Yeah. I really had hopes that we were going to have. I mean, this feels way too optimistic because this team went on to win the World Series. But I had the pie in the sky hopes that we could have a 2021 Braves outfield makeover. But
yeah,
it certainly seems that Dana, either because the price wasn't there or they're unwilling to pay, or just pay, you know, whatever side of the price, like either they didn't like it or they were unwilling to pay what was going back. Like, they're going to settle on the one outfielder.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN. Junkies have thoughts on this. We'll get your thoughts. We'll continue to monitor the deadline. Also, Varsho is expected to be in the lineup tonight against his former team, which is exciting. I'm excited to see Varsho in an Astro uniform, see what that looks like. 713-780-ESPN. Brian in for Joe. Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
It's Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Foster Griffin, Australian for ace, has been traded to the Guards.
Wah, wah.
He is not going to be a Houston Astro, so we'll see. We shall see. 24 minutes left for Dana Brown. Some of this stuff does trickle out late. Dalton Varsho is heading to the Astros club. I haven't seen a lineup yet. Somebody texted us, where would you bat Varsho? To me, it depends on – one, it depends on who's in the lineup every day. What is it? Joe Espada's had like – I think Joe Espada's had a unique lineup in every game, but like two or three.
Yeah, something
so
crazy
like
that.
We get caught up too much in the whole lineup thing. Tell me who's playing against lefties, playing against righties.
Fifth?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, Altuve's been batting below Trammell recently.
Altuve's been fifth, right? I would rather have Varsho hitting.
I think he's been hitting sixth.
Has he?
Last two games, I think he was batting sixth.
Okay. Yeah, I think fifth-ish feels right.
But he might have Altuve ahead of him against lefties, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it depends on the feng shui of the lineup. It depends on the lefty-righty thing. Espada has fallen in love with the, alternating lefty-righty when he can, which is fine. I would do the same thing. You know, especially like break ties, things like that. To me, the lineup doesn't really matter a ton, but probably in the middle. I would say in the middle of the order, 5-6.
Yeah, that sounds about right. So apparently the asking price, I don't know if you've seen this yet, but according to the Chandler Rome, the asking price was really high for Foster Griffin, and the Nationals got back four players. Now, I don't know how highly those players are rated in the Guardian system, but the going price for Foster Griffin seemed to be higher than expected, or at least for me.
Yeah, I don't know. That's the.
I mean, he's an all-star. He's in great form. I get it, but it was an expiring contract, and it's a guy without like a long major league track record. He'd been in Japan for the last three seasons, but
yeah, some of the peripherals aren't great on him.
Yeah, so I'm frankly a little surprised by what he went for. We'll have to see the exact prospects the Guardians gave up and right. How high they were, but apparently it was four players. Astros had extensive conversations, according to Rome, but the asking price was very high.
That's probably the right thing to do.
Yeah.
You know, it probably was the right thing to do. I mean, the Astros are willing to pay a heavy price, I think. I think
clearly.
We've seen that
clearly.
They're willing to pay a heavy price. Foster Griffin's expected ERA is a full run higher than his real ERA. So, like, I would have been excited to get him. I probably wouldn't have been excited if one of them was a top four or five prospect. So we'll see. We'll see if the Astros have anything else to do in the next 22 minutes. We're watching it feverishly. Let's go out to the text line. Bagua had a bad trade deadline. He was in the room. Dana Brown told us. Junkie, we need more cowbell. Can we please get a picture? He didn't say pitcher. He said picture. What do you want a picture of? You want a picture of Bagwell in the war room? 713-780-ESPN. Wishful thinking, but if Correa were able to return for a playoff run, would you play him at third, Isak at second, and could you confidently play Altuve in left for the sake of getting the best bats out there?
Give me that line.
So Correa's back. Like, what would you be your defensive positioning if Correa comes back?
Obviously, Correa at third. Pena, short. Obviously, he's a short.
Who?
JP3. Altuve second. Paredes first, DH Walker, Yordan in left, Varsho in center, Cam in right, and then obviously your catcher platoon.
You said Isak at second?
No, Isak at first. Walker DH.
Walker's a better defender.
Okay, we'll flip him. That's fine.
And now Yordan, you're just playing Yordan in left, huh?
Yeah, I think so, to get the extra bat in the lineup.
Did you see the report? I think it might have been Swabby. But the Astros were apparently in on Luis Arraez.
Yeah.
That Altuve would have moved to left for Arraez.
I did. Like, I think I would overall have supported that move. Altuve, I guess Altuve anywhere scares me defensively.
Yes.
But so I guess it's, you know, it's really, you know, sixth sense or not, what is the phrase? Half a dozen. I can't remember. It doesn't matter.
Six but, in one hand, half a dozen.
Yeah, there we go. I was struggling to get there. Thank you for help. Thanks for the assist there. But yeah, I think I would have done that deal just because Arraez would have been a much would have lengthened the lineup quite a bit. I mean, he's what, a 3-time batting champion? I would have done that deal, depending on what they were at. I don't know what the Phillies gave up to get him, but I wouldn't have let Altuve moving to left field stop me. I'll put it that way.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't have let it stop me.
If that was like the last obstacle in the way of making that deal, just the conversation with Altuve, or just like, do we want to put Altuve in left field? Then
yeah,
I think it would have been overthinking it to not to make that move.
I do want to say that the part that I do like of Varsho versus some of these other outfielders is I do like that you have a center fielder, because again, I don't think the Astros have a center fielder, not
Agreed.
An everyday center fielder prior to this trade. Spence doesn't hit enough. Myers doesn't hit enough. Trammell doesn't defend enough. Lo Profito doesn't defend enough. Like, you didn't have a true everyday center fielder. So Varsho does accomplish that. That's the one thing that I like about getting Varsho versus a Taylor Ward or, Larnach, you know, something like that. Now, there's benefits of a Larnach. Like, he's having his better season. He doesn't look like he's on the decline. He's got an extra year of club control. But if there was, like, one bullet point, like, hey, I like this about him, I would say that he's going to man center field every day, which is good.
That is definitely a plus. I don't know if we want to take this as a sign that they're completely done, but Joe Espada's already talking to the media.
I don't think it's a sign.
You don't think it's a sign? My gut reaction when I saw he's already talking about the Eric Grady Varsho trade is that they've told him we're done. I mean, there's 18 minutes to go. Maybe they tried on Foster Griffin. There was, what, 2 hours ago news that they were looking back into the Larnach deal. There was, you know, they've
I don't
had.
Think they, I mean, I don't think Espada's really involved in player, like the roster.
Yeah, just why send him out there until everything's done?
Well, I mean, they play in 2 hours.
Yeah, I know, but you can't wait an extra 15 minutes?
I don't think it's a sign.
Okay, all right.
I don't think it's a sign. But maybe, I mean, it could be.
I just would, I wouldn't want them out there talking about players that they might end up dealing 10 minutes
later. Well, he said they're not going to trade from the roster.
They said that, and then they did it anyway, kind of.
Well, no, he went on the roster.
I know, but.
He went on the 26. In fact, Dana Brown said we're not going to trade him on the 26, but maybe like on the 40 man.
Okay.
It was right.
Yeah, I guess that was the tip.
That
was a hint there.
Pete, since the Astros traded with Toronto, why don't they swing a deal for Springer while he's in town and slot him in the DH reunion part two? I would just slot him in left field against left-handed pitching. I know he hadn't played a whole lot out there, but I want him out there more than I would want Yordan out there. I would have been okay with that. Junkie by low, Colton Cowser. I would have been in favor of that, but not anymore. Like, you don't want two center fielders who are below average hitters. To me, we'd have just been one. Like, I would have liked Colton Cowser. But I don't want Cowser and Varsho. To me, it's one or the other because they're both center fielders that can play good defensively. They both have a better hitting upside than they've shown. But to me, you're not having two of those guys on the same team.
I assume Cowser would have cost quite a bit more, right, because of team control?
Maybe, but he's also been bad. So, yeah. I don't know. Jake Meyers hits with the same batting average, if not better, though. Same batting average as who?
Not as Varsho.
Astros, unfortunately, can't swing significant deals when they lack high-grade prospects and don't have much to offer from the everyday lineup. No, I think that Nayans, Alvarez would have gotten you quite a bit. Mayer, maybe even two. To me, the Astros just didn't want to trade those guys, which I condone.
Yeah, like, I mean, we might get into this later, but, like, seeing what Skubal went for to the Dodgers, I mean, I think they had enough to get Tarik Skubal if they really wanted to.
Yeah,
I just think the Astros didn't. Decided from, I don't know if it was Crane or if it was Dana Brown or if it was both of them or how maybe it was in Bagwell, but they just decided not to trade those top-level prospects.
Which I like.
Yeah, I'm fine with. Unless
I didn't want to trade those guys.
I guess I could have been talked into if it was Tarik Skubal, but outside of that, I would have had a hard time accepting it.
Yeah. All right, 713-780-ESPN. More thoughts on this. We're going to be monitoring the deadline. 16 minutes. Ahead of the Major League Baseball trade deadline, do the Astros have one more in them? Or is Dalton Varsho for Arrigetti it? 713-780-3776. It's Jeremy and Joe. Brian in for Joe on ESPN 97.5. First, a moment on HR&P, Human Resources and Payroll. You know, this could help out the local ball club because you know what HR&P can do? They can help with onboarding. And they can help onboard a ball player. HRP, Cougar owned by my colleague, Go Cougs, Chris Fisher's over there. All the people at HRP are fantastic. Business owners, let HRP help you. They can help you with HR compliance, benefits administration, payroll, onboarding. Hello? Dalton Varsho, anybody? HRP can help in any or all of those areas. There's no boxes with HRP. It doesn't matter how small the job, how big the job, HRP is going to completely tailor a plan for what you and your business needs. You have a big problem, you have a little problem, a big issue, a little issue, it doesn't matter. HRP is going to find a way to help you. And they do it in a way that's unique, too. Technology meets service. You have to have the technology in 2026. Let's face it, HRP has that. But what sets them apart is that service. Guaranteed fulfillment. You'll never talk to a stranger. You always talk to someone who knows you. They know your business needs. They're always on top of what's going on in the business world. They're a great ally to have on your side. I can attest to that. We use HRP, of course, here at Gal. You're never going to talk to a stranger. So let HRP help you. Let them tailor a plan for your business. That way you can take your business to new heights. Give them a call at 281-880-6525. Let HRP customize a plan for you. 281-880-6525. Or check them out online at HRP.net. That's HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5. It's Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Joe out today. He'll be out tomorrow as well. Brian in for Joe today. We'll have Stressons on tomorrow. Junkie's like, can you stop talking about the boring deadline? Talk about the Texans. We will a lot tomorrow. Deadline day is one of the best days in sports. There's been a lot of Correa talk.
Do you believe it?
I listened to him over the weekend talk. I think he is going to try to come back.
I believe that part. I don't believe that he'll actually make it back, though.
there's so many things that have to go right, and you can't have a setback for a guy who's always injury prone.
Right.
Like, to me, you can't plan on him coming back. That's why I want a right-handed bat. Now, could he satisfy the right-handed bat once he comes back? If he comes back, sure. But I'm not planning on that.
No.
To me, it's a bonus. To me, it's just, you know,
I wouldn't build my deadline around it.
No, absolutely not. But yeah, he's supposed to go to the doctor tomorrow and then maybe get the green light on swinging again. You know, could he be a DH-only type? Maybe. I don't know. I mean, he would help you, especially if the Astros don't acquire a righty in the next 9 minutes.
Yeah, I think they're done. I mean, we'll probably still get news on things at least a few minutes after the deadline. Sometimes those things trickle in late, but I'm thinking they're done.
Yeah, maybe. Lars Nootbaar is going to the Diamondbacks.
I saw that. That was a name I know on your list, and would have been a nice addition as well. But another one off the table. I like Taylor Ward, but he went to the Mariners. There's a lot of names that we talked about last week that unfortunately have gone to other teams.
Yep. 713-780-ESPN. I knew Dana was an idiot the day he dealt with Dubon. That was for financial reasons, but yeah, I didn't like that trade either, and it certainly doesn't look great in hindsight. It's kind of like the antithesis of this trade. Like, it's the opposite. Like, they traded Dubon, final year of a contract for Nick Allen because he was cheaper and had lots of club control, but they traded the better player. This year, they trade Arrighetti for years, who has years of club control, for a rental in Varsho. And, I mean, Dubon could have probably just been your everyday center fielder. Yeah, that's one that they probably wish they could have back.
I'd rather have the upside of Varsho at the plate, but I mean,
Dubon's been really good this year.
He has, but like I wouldn't rather have it over the cost of Arrighetti. But if it was all things just Varsho one v one for Dubon, I think I'd lean Varsho.
Dubon's numbers have gone down quite a bit. His OPS plus is down to 94.
Yeah, water finds its level. You know,
that's true.
But I think the more and more this goes on, I'm not really talking myself into it from the aspect of I think Varsho is going to be a great offensive player, but I am kind of coming around to the side of, like, Arrighetti wasn't really a long-term answer. I know he has 3 years of team control. We're all going to focus on that. Like, oh, you traded a guy for 2 months and he's got 3 years of team control, but we've seen Arrighetti, the second half of his rookie season and then May this year. And outside of that, he's been just a guy.
His career ERA is 4.66. If he's a 4.66 career ERA guy in the next 3 years, so what?
Yeah, exactly. That's my point.
But at what point, I guess it depends on what Varsho does.
Yeah,
too.
Like, at what point are we going to stop looking for or pointing to the potential of Arrighetti? Like, well, this is just who he is.
I think it depends on how he produces in the next 3 years.
Yeah, that's
like
fair.
His production over the next 3 years, and obviously Varsho's production in the next 2 to 3 months. Is what's ultimately going to determine this trade. If Arrighetti turns into a sub 4 ERA guy, a middle of the rotation starter, it's going to be really hard for Dalton Varsho to beat out that sort of production.
Yeah, no, Varsho definitely cannot beat that out. If Arrighetti over the next 3 years has a combined sub 4 ERA, I don't see any way Varsho beats that out.
That might be the number here. Like, if Arrighetti's a sub 4 ERA guy for the next 3 years, it's going to be probably a trade that the Astros lose.
They lost.
If he's a plus 4 ERA guy over the next 3 years, it's probably a trade that the Astros win, even if Varsho doesn't do a whole lot.
And I lean
towards
the ladder.
It does clear room for other guys. And look, I know that Arrighetti's still got 3 years of club control. I get it. But his first year of arbitration's this year, and that's significant money. You know, arbitration, it's club control, and it's not as much as they would get on the open market, but arbitration figures are getting higher and higher.
Yeah, didn't Fromber get, $17, $18 million his last year here?
Not
that Arrighetti would get that, but to your point.
First year of arbitration's obviously going to be the cheapest.
Right.
In fact, it's a rule. Baseball arbitration, you can't make less money than you did the year before. It has to be more money, I think, even. I don't even think it could be equal. I think it has to be a steady raise. But, yep. 713-780-ESPN. 5 minutes for the deadline. Junkie, what's the deal with the Astros always trading with Toronto every year, it seems, and now three different GMs making multiple deals with them? I mean, some front offices get along better with other front offices. They're better trade partners at time. It's just
Dana loves Canadians.
The personality.
He's got a soft spot
players
for the Maple Leaf.
Correa coming back equals Fred Van Vliet coming back.
Kind of feel that way.
Correa, I think Correa's got a way better chance.
Yeah, I just think neither one happens.
Did Fred Van Vliet have a mattress Mac recliner? Correa's got the mattress Mac recliner.
I don't know if he did.
Yeah, so that,
should we give Mac the credit if he makes it back?
Yeah.
All right.
Heck yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, if Correa, I've already been on record saying that on the internet. Although I already own a mattress Mac couch, so recliner.
Brag?
Sort of. I was trying to get the free one 1 year. Actually, we got it.
Oh, which bet? Because he does those bets every year. Which bet was it?
It was actually when Brandon baby was born. We needed a recliner for my wife because she was going to be in a lot of pain after the pregnancy
sure.
and stuff. So we got a recliner for Gallery Furniture, and we needed the Bengals to beat the Rams in the Super Bowl.
Okay.
They were close. They were winning in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, no, it was a good game.
Bengals
good
screwed
game.
Me.
Yeah. Blame Aaron Donald.
Might be a dumb question, but can Dalton Varsho also play catcher? So he played catcher in the past. I don't think he's – I mean, he hadn't caught in years.
Yeah, well, at least what
– I'd have to look, but I don't think he's caught since his Arizona days.
Yeah, I thought he – yeah, I know he definitely caught, obviously, in Arizona. I don't know if he caught post then because the – I know the Blue Jays had, like, three – even when they traded Varsho, they already had, like, three – yeah, they
last
already had, like,
caught
three
was
catchers.
In 22 with Arizona.
There you go.
He hasn't – he's played left field, center field every year. That he's been in Toronto. I don't think he can catch anymore. I think that's done.
I guess it's an emergency, but outside
yeah, emergency
of that.
Third catcher. Trading for a career 240 hitter is just not good enough.
I mean,
if this is the only move, I will be pretty disappointed.
Yeah, definitely. Like I can talk myself into, and I don't look at batting average first, so I don't care if he's a 240 hitter if the OPS is there, but I could talk myself into Varsho being a nice addition to the team, but as we talked about for almost 2 hours now, it's just not enough. Like they need another starting pitcher, and they needed a right-handed bat, and they failed to get both so far.
All right, 713-780-ESPN. We'll go to a break here. We'll come back. We'll see if the Astros did anything at the wire, if anybody did anything at the wire, and we'll give our immediate reactions to the deadline for the Stros. The Guards just acquired Nathaniel Lowe. They're doing everything the Guards are. All right, 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, Brian in for Joe on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.